NPR.
Hey everyone, Cardiff here, along with producer Darius Rafieyan. This is the Indicator from Planet Money. Free Solo is the documentary about rock climber Alex Honnold. And he's the guy who climbed El Capitan, this massive vertical cliff 3,000 feet high in Yosemite National Park, with no rope, just climbing shoes and a bag of chalk, more or less. That's what free soloing is.
People who know a little bit about climbing, they're like, oh, he's totally safe. And then people who really know exactly what he's doing are freaked out.
Yeah, it's truly like an extraordinary feat of human athleticism. And when I saw this movie, I mean, you know he's going to get to the top, but I was just like squirming in my seat and watching through my fingers because you know if he slips even a little bit, he is going to plummet to his death.
Yeah, I was getting kind of nauseous watching it, even though we know he survives. That's kind of a normal reaction, is to be frightened by this. But then there's the reaction of an economist.
Well, I actually had the same reactions watching it. and I've also participated in some crazy sports, so I kind of recognize the psychology. But I did spark an economics thought. And the economics thought is, why wasn't this done 150 years ago?
That is economist John Cochrane. He's a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford. And John points out that the first time anybody climbed El Capitan back in the 1950s, it took weeks. And that was with the use of the latest climbing technology available back then.
Yeah, Alex Honnold made the climb in just about 4 hours and with no equipment.
And now this guy can do it all by himself with nothing. So there's this explosion in technology that's just people learning to do things better that they probably could have done hundreds of years ago if they put their mind to it.
Now, John says, yeah, okay, the story is a bit more complicated than that. There are some technologies that did help Alex Honnold. Climbing shoes now are better than they used to be, for example. And Alex did use modern equipment when he practiced climbing El Capitan with ropes. But what John is saying here is that the technology that mattered most for Honnold's free solo climb is also a technology that matters a lot for the whole economy. It's just not something we often think of as technology, and it is this: the discovery of new ideas and then the spread of those ideas.
But how does that process work? I mean, how do new ideas get developed and passed down through generations? Well, after the break, John is going to give us three economic lessons that we can take from Alex Honnold's extraordinary free solo climb of El Capitan.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Capital One. Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. When you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. What's in your wallet?
Support also comes from Microsoft Teams, where you can contribute to meetings from anywhere, chat with coworkers, and find all your files in one place. Ready to unleash the power of your team? Open Teams. More at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Okay, first things first. The climber Alex Honnold is clearly a special person, someone not just with incredible climbing skill, but who apparently can also turn off his fear of death in a way that the rest of us just cannot.
That might be actually his greatest skill, yeah. Is just not having fear.
Yeah, and that was necessary, by the way, for him to become the first person to free solo El Cap.
But those skills would not have been enough without the knowledge of climbing that earlier climbers had already acquired. So, for example, the first person to climb El Cap, he was just staring up at an inscrutable wall of rock, just having to take a guess at what the best way up is.
Yeah, Darius, this is something you've actually been looking up because you've gotten into rock climbing lately. You haven't just been researching the sport. You've actually taken it up yourself.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to free solo El Cap anytime soon.
But
by the time Alex Honnold did that, there were already dozens of established routes up the rock face that had been mapped out by previous climbers. I mean, each one has its own name and its own numeric difficulty rating. So Alex had the luxury of all this knowledge when deciding the best way to attack this problem. And that's the result of decades of trial and error by other climbers who all did their part to contribute to this store of knowledge.
Yeah, and here is where economist John Cochrane starts to see rock climbing as a parable for economic growth. So, economic lesson number one about Alex Honnold's climb: knowledge externalities. Knowledge matters because by its very nature, potentially everybody has access to it.
So my action of learning how to do something has what we call an externality. It has a benefit, a positive externality to you, because then you can then adapt the same things. The way that, you know, if I figure out how to build a car, you can't use my car without me not being able to use it. But we can all use knowledge, which is, you know, why is Silicon Valley, the engine of economic growth? Well, this is the place where somebody figures out a better algorithm to do something and other people catch on, and then everybody's software works better.
But of course, knowledge is only helpful if it's passed on to people who can use it, which brings us to economic lesson number two, knowledge transmission. You know, throughout the economy, the ability to share knowledge has been greatly accelerated by the internet, for example. And, you know, in rock climbing, as the sport has gotten bigger, as more gyms open, as more people meet up to go climbing, the amount of knowledge transmission has also accelerated.
But just because knowledge hypothetically could be available to everyone, in reality, not everyone can use it. For example, there are intellectual property laws to protect people who invent new things so that others can't rip them off. Which is another way of saying that sometimes the transmission of knowledge is blocked, at least for a little while.
And this makes sense, right? I mean, you want to make sure that people who invent new things can profit off their new ideas, at least for a little while. Otherwise, a lot of people just wouldn't even bother trying to invent new things. On the other hand, if these laws are too restrictive and protect intellectual property too much, then nobody can ever use those ideas. And that's a problem too, John says.
So from a public policy perspective, the minute something's invented, we want everybody to use it as fast as possible because it's an improvement on the way of doing things. Of course, if we do it that way, then I have no incentive to take the effort that it takes to learn how to do things better. So we live on this delicate and imperfect balance.
I think Alex Honnold probably knows quite a lot about living on a delicate, imperfect balance. Yeah,
probably.
But the serious point here is that if earlier rock climbers could have patented their climbing techniques, or if they could have patented the routes that they used to get up El Cap so that Alex Honnold and others couldn't use them, then we would not have seen him climb El Cap without a rope.
And listen, Alex Honnold deservedly gets a lot of credit for this. I mean, he's a great athlete. He's the star of this amazing documentary that won an Oscar. But you know, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of other climbers that paved the way for this achievement. And I think most people outside the climbing community probably don't know their names. And John says that is worth pondering.
I think more generally, we should celebrate the community that comes up with an idea more than just the person who makes it famous. The way we view science and even business often does too much glorifying the Einstein, the Newton who comes up, the Honnold who comes up with a big breakthrough on top of 90% of the work being done by others, and doesn't celebrate the fact that actually this is a whole community of people, each of which chipped in a lot of ways.
And John's last economics lesson from Free Solo is a simple one: group size. The bigger the group that is studying any problem, the faster the knowledge can be passed around.
I think part of why this happened now is starting in the 1970s or so, a larger group of people got interested in mountain climbing. It wasn't just a couple of crazy British aristocrats that you see in the old movies. And that group started being inventive and passing around inventions, and then their ability to do things grew very quickly.
Yeah, here, Darius, I think there seems to be good news for the climbing community, because climbing is getting increasingly popular, which you can observe by looking at how many people on our very indicator team have taken up rock climbing, all right? You, co-host Stacey Vanek Smith, editor Patty Hirsch, you guys are all, that's more than half the team, you're all into rock climbing.
Yeah, rock climbing is definitely blowing up.
And so now you have more people testing new ideas. Maybe that'll lead to someone actually eclipsing Alex Honnold's amazing achievement. Who knows?
Yeah, the next thing is you climb El Cap using only one hand.
Or do it all in one leap. I don't know. This episode was produced by Lena Sonsgiri and fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. Our editor is Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.